Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to a Drop Tent Media production.
Hi, hello, welcome, Call the Bus, Neil Wood, Adam Nutter.
By the renewing of your mind,
the recycling, it's a flesh body world.
Spirit.
Human.
Spirit.
Sir Slimy Reptilian.
Hey, here we are, another day in the cult, straight out of the gate. We got a great guest, Jonas Bards from not another goddamn horror podcast. I love the name of it. Not another goddamn horror podcast. It's amazing. I'm happy to be here. Adam may be popping in. We have no idea. He was rushed out of here with a urgent message from the president, I believe. It's his president. He loves him to death. I know, despite the libertarian views, everything he does, he loves the current president, last president. He loves all of them. He's way into all the DNC, RNC. It's some of his favorite people, really. But unfortunately,
he's going to pop on here like, what the fuck?
Dude, you ruined my entire credibility. What are you doing? Well, I'm here with Jonas today. We were rapping about horror immediately. What is going on? And it's a good time to be into horror right now. I mean, we were talking about some of our favorites, which we have. If you will have to check out our Patreon, and I'm sure you've covered it as well, Jonas. But we were talking about the Serbian film before that, the sadness, all the good stuff coming out right now. Not right now, and also the stuff coming out right now, but. And, dude, I got to say, guys, listen, I just got to meet Jonas, Adam's friend. How did you get to know Adam? Let's start there.
So I got to know Adam doing another podcast. So he was actually, we were wonderful. Both guests on the same show, and then we kind of hit it off there. And then we just started talking like comedy and all that stuff. That's really how it started. And that's, that's
and
where
comedian yourself, you said you're doing some comedian stuff as well, some stand up. I didn't even know.
Yeah, dude, I've been a comic now for almost 13 years. And I started off in the Pacific Northwest, moved to New York about nine years ago, and been going here since.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh man, I hope I get to see you up there soon, man. I mean, but when it comes for a heart, like in New York, are you able, because I imagine with the amount of theaters, small, little, big, like all that stuff, are you able to get just like access to some movies and like horror stuff where like you can't see in other places or like I can't get to?
I mean, sometimes it depends. So like when Terrifier 2 came out, I was able to see the New York premiere over at Regal. So yes. Like that was dope because all the people, this was before Terrifier 2 exploded into what it is. Mm-hmm. So like when I got there, I was like, oh shit, Lauren Lavera, and like, oh shit, you know, Phil Falcone, and like, oh, David Howard Thornton. Like we'd already talked to David, Art the Clown. We'd already talked to him on the podcast before, and he'd told us like, I want to say like 6-7 months prior that he was like, you guys have no fucking idea what we've done with Terrifier 2. No. So like, I was already hyped for it. But then when I got to the premiere and I saw the people, everybody was like really into it. And then like, you know how when you see a horror film with horror fans, like there's that energy that's in a room. Oh, so like,
they're gonna do it. They're gonna do it.
As soon as that opening scene happens, with the coroner, everybody's like, "Fuck yeah!" Like everybody was just immediately rabid.
So pumped.
So shit like that. Yeah, like it's cool that you get to see. We get to see stuff like that, or like because we have the IFC Film Center, the IFC Theater. Right. If it's an IFC midnight movie, or if it's like a certain kind of like low budget or indie movie, something like that, a lot of times we get access to see those in a theater before they'll come out on like Shudder or, you know, streaming or whatever. And they also do a lot of like premieres with like cast and crew and stuff like that, Q&A's and stuff. They do a lot of those at those theaters. So yeah, stuff like that is dope. That's one of the thing, one of the reasons that I'm happy to be in New York, aside from the comedy aspect of it. The horror, like I love movies in general, but horror is very much my favorite genre. So I get a little spoiled in New York because I get to see a lot of that stuff. That's, you know, I get to see it quicker than other people do at times.
I think some of the most exciting horror that I movies that I've seen, I'm super excited about. Was it Ty West or no Ty?
Yeah, Ty West's new one.
Ty West. The like between X and Pearl, I was in love. Like immediately, I was like, I love what you're doing. Immediately, I was like, this is amazing. We were talking about Evil Dead before we got on, what they're doing with that, and then Terrifier is like the movie that just came out of the side. Like you're just it came from like the darkness as it should have, and you're just like, what is this? Like, I saw the first one, loved it. I was like, well, this isn't going to get like picked up. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to make these and I'm going to have to find these. Like, this is, okay, got it.
It was made for like $20,000. It was super cheap. Like,
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, cool. I need to keep my ear to the ground and like watch for the next one or something. This seemed like it was successful. And I guess it was. I actually did. I didn't look for the fanfare of like Terrifier 1. And I know he was in one of those mashups. Like he was a character that out of an anthology, and which is fascinating as fuck. Automatically, which I'm glad people are still like doing those and just like slapping them together. Like, oh yeah, like, put all these movies. They're all fun in their different ways. Put them together. Let's see what takes and go to film festivals with it. But yeah, I think those are the most exciting franchises in horror right now that I'm hoping they keep going and just, they're so exciting. I can't think of any other ones that I'm really, and I've seen a ton of other stuff, but like everything else is kind of like does not have what I think horror fans are really looking for.
It doesn't have the wow factor. Like,
yeah.
Well, here's the thing about like, I was talking about this about last year. So last year was a banger of a year for horror. Like horror was huge last year. Yeah. And so you had X, you had Pearl, you had Scream, and then you had the new Scream that came out, you know, like, so you had those, but like you also had Terrifier 2. You had all these other movies, like indie horror film movies that were just indie horror films were popping off left and right last year. And also like there were some big franchise ones too. So like it kind of had the good mix of both, but the biggest thing about the thing with Terrifier 2 that's interesting is that movie, for anybody that's seen it, there's no way in hell that that movie should have been in a theater in any regular circumstance. So what ended up happening is the distributor Cinedigm kind of just said, fuck it, we're going to take a chance. And they put it in theaters, but they only initially had it in theaters for a week. Like that was the only thing they were going to do. It was going to be a week. It was going to be like one or two showings a night. Like it wasn't going to be anything crazy. And then next thing you know, all those showings sold out. So they're like, all right, shit, we're going to put it in for another week and another week and another week and another week. So it went on for 8 weeks in over 800 theaters. Like, that's crazy, especially that's for big. That movie. Like, yeah. you know. And so what ended up happening is it kind of showed studios that, like,
a sequel.
Yeah. Right? Like,
you're
of
just
all
like,
things.
What?
Yeah. So it also kind of showed studios that, like, oh shit, we can put indie movies in theaters and people are going to come out to them if they're quality movies, you know, or like, especially for horror, like they're like, yeah, people will come out to these. The downside of that is that you get movies like that really shitty Winnie the Pooh movie that, like, a lot of people still went out and saw. So it's just like, all right, don't give them too big of a, don't give them too big of a message there. Yeah. But, yeah, Terrifier 2 is like the Cinderella story of horror. Like, there's nobody saw that coming, even including the filmmakers. They didn't see that coming. Right. Like, it was just like, oh shit. So now Art the Clown is like a horror cultural icon. Like, he's right up there with Jason and Freddy. Like, and people said that in the first one and nobody believed it. And then the second one came out and they're like, oh shit. Like, he is, he's right up there.
Yeah. He kind of solidified, which again, given, and I still, of course, follow, you know, everything with It and all the remakes as well. I like them. I had some people shit on them and stuff like that. I was like, I like these. I don't know why. I like them. They're fun.
Yeah.
It's a good fun thing. I dug it. I didn't want to, like, I was like, guys, we get so rare, like, so rarely do we get, like, giant, you know, productions of these kind of movies. So I was like, I'm in, I think, unless they completely shit the bed on this, I think I'm fairly in. And they kept to it from the first one. I think they ran through with, you know, with them. It was pretty great. But yeah, in terms of clowns, like, what else are we going to do? Like, this was, I was like, okay, cool. We have It. And that was pretty much the go-to for,
right.
I mean, you were either doing that or real life John Wayne Gacy. Like, that was, you were doing actual serial killers. Or right. The fictional one from, yeah, like, from the 80s, right? Like,
right.
From when they were, but other than that, and the book, but, like, you were like, what are we doing with clowns? Yeah, clowns are scary. We got it. But, like, It, right? Like, yeah, clowns are scary. And then this guy just comes out of here with the concept of, like, nah, like, what if it was a guy? Like, you're like, just what
a,
if?
Yeah, a dude. I'm like, yeah. And he's, like, a mime. He's a mime. Yeah. He didn't say a fucking word.
The beauty of
it. Does not say a word. Now, you know what's really interesting? What's really interesting about this, when we were talking to David, he said he went from, so before Terrifier, what he was doing was he was playing the Grinch on the touring, like the touring How the Grinch Stole Christmas. So he was like, I already played a part that I really didn't have to, like, say anything. Like, there was no real words to it. It was all animated, like all animated movements. He was like, so when they had me come in to potentially play Art the Clown, he was like, all I did was a couple of things that were just really animated, emotional stuff, but with my face and hands. And they were like, okay, but now you need to act like you're going to saw somebody's head off. And he was just like, okay. He just popped right into it and was like, how do I do this in, like, a comically over the top way without saying a word? And he said, right after he did the first one, they were like, you're fucking in. Like, you're the guy. Yeah. Like, so it was kind of cool that way. You know, it's funny, when we I was talking to somebody about clown movies. The only other clown movie aside from It that I think is just crazy good is literally called Clown.
Okay.
And it's the one where the dude puts on the clown makeup and the clown mask, like, to go to his kid's birthday party. But then it's like the clown makeup is, like, cursed and it attaches to his face and body and he can't remove it. And the longer that he keeps it on, the more it takes him over and turns him into, like, this demonic, like, nasty ass entity that has to feed on people. But he can't remove it. Like, so it literally fuses with his body. And it was one that was
sounds like two X's ago. You know what I mean?
Sorry. Yeah. But no, it was kind of a, it's also an, it's an Eli Roth production. He doesn't direct it. But he is the executive producer. And he also was the original one that did, it was a fake trailer that just turned into a full movie.
Ooh,
and it fucking rules. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a fake trailer. And then it turns out that it was awesome. So, like, and it's like, it's legit terrifying.
Okay. He just, I will, you know, find this.
Yeah. He just puts on a clown nose and then he tries to remove it when he gets done with the birthday party and he can't remove it. And then when he, like, tries to pull it off, it, like, rips part of his nose with it. And he's just like, oh, fuck. like,
oh,
you know,
I have not seen this, and I will watch this immediately when I get done here. Wow.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Gnarly. It is.
Yeah,
gnarly,
I have to
gnarly.
See this if it's good. Yeah, yeah. Because we were talking about sadness before that, and when we love, I just love those world turns, those moments when you like, especially sadness delivers so heavy on like, you know, you if you haven't seen The Sadness, Taiwanese, right? I believe.
Yeah, it's a Taiwanese.
Taiwanese, and I knew it was good. Well, from the gate, it felt loving. Like, it felt like, oh, you guys put a lot of thought into this. I like, mm-hmm. okay. And then the scene from the rooftop, which is in the trailer, you're just like, right, okay, yeah, this is unsettling, and you're about to kick into a horror movie, and it's about to kick into some zombies, possibly. Okay, got it. Mm-hmm. But it was the way they did it from that point, which is really where when the movie kicks off. If you're a horror fan, after that happens, you're like, okay, this is important. This is the moment.
Right.
Like, this is it. His next motions are very important, and what is about to happen, and it delivers. And you're just like,
yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah. It is fantastic. I love those moments. The same thing with Terrifier. He's like, oh, okay, clown, we got it. And then it just fucking delivers. And the silence, I don't know how much. I guess that was the choice from the gay. They're like, you know, because they got him specifically. They were like, can you pantomime? I imagine. Because there couldn't have been a time where he was meant to have lines.
Nope.
Right? There's no way. Right. He was
not
always
one.
Meant. Which is the best choice. Like, it's like, if this clown needs to talk at a point, like, we're fucked. Like, it's not
right.
gonna, whatever he says is not good enough. It's
no.
never, and that's the thing with it. That's the thing that we, you know, somebody had slipped through the things of like, all the horror is when he's quiet. Like, why is he saying things? And hey, you know, Curry, was it Curry? Yeah. Who's the original? I'm trying to think of
the original Tim Curry.
Yes. Yep. You know, you're like, hey man, you had lines. You're trying to deliver them in a horrible, just being
sure.
creepy in them. Good job. But then you just see him do nothing. You see him.
Yeah.
I mean, you see him do everything with no lines, and you're like, God damn, you are unsettling. Say something, you son of a bitch. Like, you're
right.
so mad. The whole and then all the comedy is great.
Oh yeah,
the comedy is fantastic. It is so good. The laundromat scene is
perfect.
Just amazing.
Yeah,
it
absolutely
is,
perfect.
You could not ask for a better like tone of a movie where you are like, hey, we know what you guys like. But also, what if he was like imagining shit? Like, what if and the things that you're imagining are exactly what you think they are.
For sure.
And you're just like, dude, you guys just, it was like somebody serving you a steak already, and then they were like, yeah, no, we got mashed potatoes, we got fixings, we got all the stuff, baby. Let's
we
get
got a
into
lot of
it.
Salt.
Yeah, we got a whole lot of salt.
Like,
dude, that
whole fucking bedroom scene, it was so funny. When I, like, at the premiere, they were talking to her. Her name's Casey Hartnett. She's fantastic. And she was the one that plays Allie. So she's the one that gets the easily the worst kill scene out of all of them.
Right.
And so when she was talking at the premiere, they said, how was it filming that scene? And she goes, well, I haven't done a whole lot of stuff. And then they said, we have a bedroom scene for you. And she goes, oh, okay. Like, she goes, I was expecting it to be like a bedroom scene. She goes, turns out it was far fucking worse. She goes, I would have happily showed my tits instead of doing all that, you know?
Yeah.
But that scene. So like when we were last year, we did a thing called, this is kind of funny. We do a horror award show every year for our podcast, but we call it the Danzigs because we all fucking love Danzig, and we're like, and you know what, he also made a movie, so like we fucking love Danzig. His movie sucked, but like he at least tried, you know, like he tried to do it. So we have all the respect in the world for Danzig, so we're like, all right, well, we're calling it the Danzigs. And one of the categories, of course, was kill of the year, and it was easily that one. We're like, there was so many good ones, but like that one, because every time he does something, you're like, okay, it's done. And then he comes back in the room, you're like, Jesus Christ, dude. Like,
that bedroom scene is, when I was showing, and I was like, listen, there are gonna be moments in this scene and you need to stay in. Like, you're like, you're gonna wanna just be like, what is this? Just stay in it because, again, of course I'm showing this to someone who's actually not a horror fan.
Sure,
always,
course,
every
course.
Time. Yeah, every time I'm just like, right? And they're like, this is awful. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
I know. It's awesome, right?
It's so good. Like,
yeah,
think
yeah.
about, Yeah. Just it, when I tell you that, and we were talking a little bit about before we got on with the comedy with the Evil Dead franchise right now, like of like how the comedy was with the new movie that was released, kind of the sequel. Well, not well, yes, sequel. I imagine,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the sequel from the you know the 2013
the continuation,
right?
Yeah,
and. You know, delivers on a lot of good gore, but when I tell you that the comedy we talked about it before was like the comedy was like misplaced. It's
it felt shoehorned.
Like, yeah, it's like in, and you're like, eh. Yeah. I mean, I hate to do the comparison, but it feels like a great comic is on stage, and you are just waiting to see what they're gonna say.
Yeah.
Every time with Terrifier, you're just like, how is he going to play with this next victim? And fuck with them, and it's gonna be kind of funny until it's so not funny.
For sure, yeah, yeah.
And then it's gonna kind of get funny again. He might get funny.
That's actually what happened after that brutal ass scene, because the next scene is a bunch of kids coming up to the door for trick or treating, and he's holding the mom's head full of candy, like, and it's just like, and the funny. This is where I kind of thought it was brilliant too, because that scene itself is kind of funny in a really fucked up way. But then when the one kid tries to get greedy and grab like a bunch of candy, he slaps his hand and just goes, just one. Like,
yeah, like
knock
now,
it off, you little shit.
Now we're talking. Like, this is the kind of where, like, you know, like, again, and you know what? They don't get, first, I'll get into an award question in a second, because, I mean, it's always bugged me that horror never gets any fucking credits at all for anything, obviously, ever. Which is insane, because, I mean, Jesus Christ, Pearl, Pearl should have gotten, but she, the fact that she didn't get an award blew my mind. I was like, I don't know, I guess they just don't care about you, they don't give a fuck. I was like, you are an astonishing actor.
Yeah.
Like, she was
Mia Goth is incredible.
She just, that ending scene of her saying, I tell everybody, like, hey, listen, if you've ever seen an actress act, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, who's a good actress to you, or an actor, whatever. Cool, yeah, good, you like that? Okay, cool. Have you ever seen them just sit over top of the credits, camera rolling, and have to pretend that they've lost all of their mind? Like, all of the faculties, they're just gone, and just hold it for the entire credits.
Whole
like,
thing.
It's... And you and her, and you're like, well, is that acting? I was like, it's acting to that point. She's acting phenomenally in the movie. And then at the end, she's like, let me show you what it looks like to lose your mind. Like, to absolutely lose your shit.
She did three things in that scene at the same time. She did the smile, which was like the I have to put a smile on my face. She did the vacant blank stare. Yeah. Which means that there was nothing. She was fucking dead behind the eyes. And then also she cried.
Yeah.
All three of those things were happening at the same fucking time without a word and without a movement. Like, that is insane. That is so good.
Who are we giving awards to? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, what is... I was like, this is... It... but yeah, I get it. That was, I mean, my question is, like, are we gonna get, let's do it out, like, are we, is there any horror, I mean, we have to do our own awards, obviously, but it's like annoying that, like, Academy Award, you know, things like this are just completely passed over. None of the actors get any.
Right.
Get Out gets a comedy. It's like, oh, it was a comedy. You're like, I mean, hey, Get Out's Get Out, whatever, but, like, give them props for keeping tension and having, like, it's a horror
that
movie.
That was 1,000%
you're fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, It's so strange.
The funny thing is, like, so you have, like, the Fangoria Chainsaw Awards, which just happened a couple days ago, which was dope. Like, I'm happy that Fangoria does that every year. But this was kind of interesting because that you bring up the award show thing. Because Terrifier was actually in contention for potentially being on the award ceremony. So they were, ooh. So, like, what they, this is also the first time this has ever happened.
Right.
So they clearly were not put into the nominations, but they were in running for nominations. So what they do with the Oscars every year is they have a list of movies that they are going to go over with the Academy and all that stuff. And they're going to figure out which of those movies is going to go into nomination for the award show. Terrifier was listed, I think, three times for three separate, for like it was on there for three separate things. So like they had one for like cinematography, one for makeup, and then like one for something else. I can't remember what it was, but the point is that it was on there three times. And when it was on there, like you should have seen the filmmakers, like Damien Leone and like all the people involved with. They were like, "Oh, what the fuck? Like, we didn't expect that at all." No. So by the time it came around for them to choose the nominated films, of course, Terrifier didn't get any, and like they weren't expecting it to. But even right. the fact that a movie like that was even potentially in the nominations, that's like at least another step in the right direction.
Yeah.
But yeah. it's crazy that Terrifier 2 is the one that pushed that to the line.
True.
Because like if you're looking at a movie like Pearl, okay, like you just mentioned that, I will say this, the in horror, in the annals of horror going back as far as I can remember, there are two movies that have a monologue in them that blew my fucking mind. Okay. One of them is Pearl.
Yeah.
So the monologue that she does at the table when she's yes. kind of just like vomiting out everything.
Yeah.
That monologue made my skin get goosebumps. Like it was so well done.
Great writing, great delivery, great
yeah.
acting. Yeah, yeah.
And the only one that I can ever remember that goes along with that as far as quality goes is Brad Dourif in Exorcist 3. Gotcha. When he does okay. the monologue as the Gemini killer,
right.
that like fucking chills your soul. Like mm-hmm. it's one of the best like deliveries of just a like, this is who I am, this is what I do, this is why I'm nasty, like, you know, right. and you feel everything on it. And then again, between that and however many years it is between Exorcist 3 and Pearl, there never was another one that came along. Like there was one that was kind of cool in Hobo with a Shotgun. There was a monologue in that was kind of dope when he's looking in the nursery. Like that was cool, yeah. but then the rest of the movie was like this Technicolor grindhouse splatter film, so they yeah. just didn't go with each other. Whereas Exorcist 3 and Pearl, that monologue fit perfectly with the movie, and it like elevated the film to another level. Mia Goth should have gotten multiple awards. She was incredible. Like, especially to do those two different parts in those two different movies back to back, fucking wild.
I just don't. I mean, listen, I'm not in the whole, you know, the world or whatever. I'm an actor, but it's, I just go like, if this, I'm having emotions while I'm watching this movie of just like seeing it from her, like trying to see it from her actor's like perspective, and just being like, she is doing incredible things with this mm-hmm. role. Like it is, she is making me feel everything she feels. Like it is crazy. I'm seeing it from her perspective, which is nuts. That's the whole point. That's why we mm-hmm. have some of these great characters. And even Terrifier 2, to that point, you're kind of like, you know, you get into that thing of like, everyone stop beating up on this guy. You know what I mean? You're like,
for sure.
There yeah, are yeah. moments where you're like, guys, leave him alone. You know what I mean? He's right, covered right. in blood. He's killed two babies. But you're like, right. guys, don't make fun of him. Like, you're, you know what I mean?
Don't
you're
give him shit on top yeah, of yeah. it. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, come on. What are we doing here? And it's one of those things where you're like these, and I can imagine it's one of the, I hate it that because of the nature of the movie, people are, you know, they see the gore and then they just turn off the right. artistry of it. And it's a shame, but it is funny to play around with the, you know, like it's fun to think about like the old gross dudes, like
sure.
probably having to, like, they're like, oh, okay. Yes. What's this? Yeah. okay. Yes. Everything all at once. It's Asians. Hmm. you know, and they're,
yes,
they put that one
quite
in.
Nice.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, there's a lot of colors and things moving. Okay. Very nice. And then you're just like Terrifier 2.
right.
And then putting them in and just like, yeah, strap in, old man. Like, let's get into
immediately,
this.
Immediately. Yeah, immediately from the opening scene. It's just like, yeah, so that's, good. That kind of like, so that kind of horror I love. And it's kind of funny because I like, I'll watch pretty much any horror you put in front of me. I'll give it a chance. Like, yeah. and there's certain movies that people love that I did not like. Like I hated The Lighthouse and I hated The Witch, but it wasn't because
we're playing Lighthouse. We're playing as a, I thought that was just a thriller. Really? That
yeah,
got
like
into
that.
The horror a little bit?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I guess
yeah,
it
yeah,
did. The tension's high. It is very high. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. And also, he, like, he fucks a mermaid monster. Like, you know, like...
I honestly went for the art house motion of that. Like, we kind of, at some point, really don't even know what's real. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where I kind of go, like, eh... it's tough to tell. And those movies, I think, know that they're doing that for Academy purposes. You know what I mean? Like, they're kind of like, listen, we got to play this a little bit, man. So sorry to interrupt, but yeah.
No, it's just like, it's one of those things where like a lot of people love The Lighthouse, and I like the way it was filmed, and I recognize the artistry of it, and it was beautiful for what it was. But it's like, if I want to see two dudes jerk off and fart for a movie, I can watch Animal House.
I'll
like
do that
you know.
Myself.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Like, The Hangover had three movies. Come on. Like, it's just, it's there. But then, like, The Witch, beautiful movie, was not my thing. Like, it just, yeah. You know, it was fine. And, like, those, so, like, there are those movies that, like, are kind of, like, genre darlings that are just not my jam. But then, like, you'll go into movies like Terrifier or like Pearl or like X or, like, you know, these ones that kind of come out of left field, where it's just like, oh shit, you know. And also those movies, they make stars. Like Jenna Ortega is a fucking mega star now.
Yeah.
And nobody really knew much about her until things like these. She's become a new Scream Queen, you know. Right. And she's fucking great at it. Like her in X, yeah. She was incredible for playing the part Fantastic. That she needed to play, you know. She's great as the new Scream girl. Like she's great as that, you know, for what Scream is. She's a good new, like, quote unquote final girl for Scream. Like, right. And she was fucking great as Wednesday. She's going to be in the new Beetlejuice 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. She's playing Lydia Deetz's daughter, which is nice. Fucking awesome. Like, yeah. You know, so that type of stuff, that's what I like about horror, because horror kind of like it stretches across so many different like subgenres and different types. Like when you say horror, there's so many different underneath, sure. You know, subgenres and stuff. The reason that I asked you earlier when we were talking is if you were into Asian horror is because of a movie that I had just gotten in the mail that I'd seen before. But it's kind of like it flew under the radar pretty heavily. It's called Project Wolf Hunting.
Okay, I know this title. I know the title of this, and that means that please.
So
pitch it.
This movie is a mixture of Predator, Train to Busan,
I'm watching this. Yes, fuck.
Those are like the two closest. The two closest, because basically, okay, so I take that back. It's a mixture of Predator and Train to Busan with a little bit of Con Air, except on a boat. So like, you know what I mean? Like it's full of a bunch of convicts, and then there's one of the convicts is not what they think it is. And when the movie hits carnage, which is like 20 minutes into the movie, it fucking never lets go. And like it is so good for what
watch
it is.
Watch the trailer. I watched the trailer and I was like, I couldn't get a beat on it. That was the thing. The only reason I didn't go into it, I was like, can't get a beat on it. And I, you know what I was worried about? I was like, this might be a comic book situation or something.
Definitely
that, like, yeah, like I know. No. That's what I was like, I might not know. So I will. Yes, I remember watching the trailer. I am getting into that. I'm watching that now.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
The thing that you see in the trailer that kind of makes you think like it might be comic bookish, and the reason that it's called Project Wolf Hunting is because the superhuman thing that's kind of like the Predator is a medical experiment that has the senses of a wolf. So like it's bloodthirsty, it has a super big sense of smell, blah 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 blah, and it's also basically invulnerable, and it's got an entire fucking cargo ship full of criminals to just decimate. So it's like, plus there's also a cool story attached to it.
Okay,
so it's like high action, high horror, but also storyline and really good acting. And also, there's no dub track, which I appreciate because dubbing usually sucks in those movies. So it's like it's full subtles. So
No, the don't watch the dubbing is
trash.
Yeah, you're not gonna get hard. I don't even know how I would watch that. I'm sure I could get by, but it's gonna be weird as fuck. It's one of those things where I wanted to. What was the question I wanted to go to? It was all this stuff going on with. The horror franchises, I feel like I'm at a loss for some of like where we're going. Like we don't have really much to grab onto. Well, I should say now we have a lot, some to grab onto, but I'm very worried it's going to get too big. That's what that's in my head. I get worried. I'm like, okay. Again, we talked about with the Evil Dead, and I think that's where you brought that up of like, okay, cool. Yeah, it's the production. This is like, you know, this is a big movie. Like they're doing a franchise with it. You know, we have a horror landscape now with everything they did with the oh God, Neil, don't do this. Don't brain fart right now. God forbid we have to edit something. That would be disgusting.
Oh, no, not editing.
Yeah, yeah. No, not editing. Oh, no. Three tools in 5 minutes? That's disgusting.
It's crazy.
No, yeah, I'm thinking of the everything with the Nun and that entire...
Oh, yeah,
we have
yeah.
a universe now.
The
Conjuring universe, sorry. The Conjuring universe. And I've seen all, and I didn't realize it was creeping up on us either. I actually didn't. And when I was like, wait, yeah, these movies are intertwined.
Right.
I was like, oh, we got a little universe. The only thing is I hate is it's Christian horror, and there's no, I don't have a big, right. We know the beats. You know the beats, baby.
When it comes to like religious horror and possession horror and stuff like that, you're like, I've fucking seen it already. Like that type of thing.
I just have nothing for it. Yeah.
Right, right. And the Conjuring universe, like, so it's kind of funny when you bring up the whole Christian horror thing. I want to bring up 2 points on that. First off, fuck the Warrens.
Yes, they're awful people.
Awful. Fucking awful. Terrible people.
Complete
charlatans, pieces of shit. They ruined people's lives. Like, they were terrible people. The first Conjuring was solid. The second Conjuring was not bad. The third one was a piece of shit, and it was mostly because of the fact that the Warrens are terrible people. Like, it used that, and it made the Warrens look good, so fuck that movie. But, like, the Annabelle movies, like, they're fun for what they are. Like, they're literally exactly what you think an Annabelle movie is going to be. Weird, creepy doll does weird, creepy shit. And now it does it in this room. Like, it's just like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
The Nun movie was boring. That was the only biggest problem with that.
You thought that character was going to ring true in that movie, and then they just mucked it. You're like, dude, you did too much. You did way too much. It was ridiculous.
Bad. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not great.
So you have those it's full of hits and misses, like that type of thing. But the thing with religious horror and with like possession horror and things like that, there's a movie that bait and switched horror fans in the last month. It's called Nefarious. Okay. It's a movie called Nefarious. I've seen the trailer for it. I saw the trailer. I was like, oh, this kind of looks cool. This kind of looks like a horror version of almost like a Silence of the Lambs type of thing. Like, you know, these two dudes are in the interrogation room and they're talking about this guy being possessed and like blah, 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 blah. Then when you go see the movie, it is nothing but a Christian propaganda film.
Yeah.
That's all it was. And it wasn't even a horror movie. It was literally this dude. The voice that he was hearing was God. And it was like, you pieces of shit. Like, you didn't even remotely hint towards that on the trailer. And you knew, you knew that you were going to get horror fans to go watch the movie. And so that pissed me off. Then when it comes to religious horror, quote unquote, that was trash.
Like Insidious, like the Insidious. Right. I was hey, you know what? I like the idea of like, okay, cool. We're going into like, and it doesn't need to be so Christian. I think though, if I remember correctly, it dips in a little in some spots, but a little-ish, but it stays in the way where you're like, no, listen, death is whatever. We don't know. You can, whatever deity, who gives a shit. But like, all I'm saying is the rules are kind of up for whatever. The rules in Insidious are just like, if you can love, like, you know, which is great. It's a universal, it's much wider. Mm-hmm. And it's not this dumb kind of hook into like you got to look at the cross. Like, look at it. Like, you're just like, guys, if Jesus is real.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This, that's nuts. Like, you're like,
sure, yeah
you were like, so wait, Jesus exists and also this fucking world exists? Are you out of your fucking mind? Like, it's, you are nuts. Oh, I'm drinking blood every Sunday so I can keep this away. Is that what you're
right.
You're just, it's ridiculous. So it's, but I felt like Insidious kept it under. But as soon as the, and people hate when I talk about it, they're like, oh, you hate, I'm like, no, I just, guys, every time it comes in, you're just bored. You're just like, here we go. We got to do this shit again. Cool. Mm-hmm. Go to some old church. Find some bullshit. Talk to a priest who's like too grungy, smokes a bunch. He's probably going to die. Got right. Got it. Like, dude, this is old fucking hat. Like, this
beat
is really
beat
just,
beat.
It's ridiculous. So it bums me out. I love, that's why I loved X and like all those. I'm like, we're kind of off the beaten path. It's not fucking propaganda. And also, what do you, yeah, I would love it if it was a Catholic movie and had some balls on it, it would also have a priest molesting children. That
for
is
sure,
what it would,
right? Yeah.
It would like play on that in some way. No nuts. There's
no, you fucked nothing. You fucked a demon right into that kid. All right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. Like, yeah. Like, if they did that, sure. That would be the one that would do it. Like,
yeah,
that would
be the one. And
over.
The priest turns demonic as well because he is
right.
a bad priest. And
sure.
you would never see that. You'd be like, yeah, do that. That's fucking great idea. I love that.
Right.
You don't see it. So I just don't know where we're going, though, because I hate it when, again, I get Terrifier Hope gets just, it's under that control. I hope they don't get picked up in money situation or, I mean, I hope they get picked up, but you know what I mean? Like, I just don't want it to run off. Like,
so,
I'm like, please chill.
I can tell you this from meeting the people involved with the movie and like having pretty, like, I'm not going to say like consistent conversations with them, right. but I've talked to them a lot and it's in the right hands is
nice.
The best
Good.
Way for me to put it, because they, sure, they want the budget to make a movie that they want to make. But I'll tell you this, Terrifier 2 was made on $250,000. That's crazy.
Wow.
That is crazy.
Dude,
okay.
And Tony, you said what? The first one was 20 grand?
Like 25.
25?
Like, super cheap. Super, super
that
cheap.
That body cut chainsaw, like, is. I would. That's when I knew. I was like, I will see the second one because it was like.
For sure.
And I love the beats, but I was like, that part, I was like, they put the money right there and they
yeah,
lit
it like
and did everything right. They nailed
right.
it.
So the director of the movie, Damian Leone, before he did the Terrifier movies, he was a full-blown special effects guy. So, like, he's the one that uses practical effects. He's the guy that has the heart for all that stuff. So the thing with Terrifier 2 is that there was a couple of parts, very sneaky parts, that were just some shine on a couple of things that were quote-unquote CGI. All they were was just like a little bit of an enhancement. That movie was 99.9% fully practical, which is also crazy. But the thing about that is that even if they get a shitload of money, they talked about this at the premiere. They said if this movie is successful and they get a third one, even if they get a shitload of money, it's still going to be at its heart a Terrifier movie. And it's still going to be a practical effects extravaganza. Like, it's not, they are adamantly against doing a Terrifier movie that's full of CGI. Like, they just don't like it at all. So they just, you know, as far as, like I said, as far as the hands that it is in,
right.
couldn't be better. Yes. You couldn't have asked for anybody better for that type of a movie.
Perfect.
I do want to tell you one thing about the whole religious horror thing, though, just because
yeah, yeah.
you might, this is something you might actually enjoy. Uh-oh. So there's a movie that just came out that just dropped on, like, you can rent it on streaming, but it's called The Pope's Exorcist with
all,
Russell Crowe.
I have not seen it, but of course, you know, of course we peruse.
Right.
Please tell me you love this movie.
It's fucking great. And I'll tell you why. Because
you son of a bitch.
It's okay. First of all,
first
of all, it's Fat Russell Crowe. Okay.
I mean, you had me. You had me at Fat Russell Crowe. The only reason I haven't watched it is because I was worried the rest of the movie was bad.
Right, right. So here's the other thing that's cool about it. The movie knows exactly what it is. Its tone is firmly tongue-in-cheek for the parts that it needs to be.
Really?
And then when the actual horror comes on, it's pretty fucking great, like, horror. Oh. So really what it is, like, literally the opening scene with the exorcist and the demon. Right. He's talking shit to the demon like they're shooting dice. Like, it's hilarious.
That's
so, like,
funny.
He's okay. Got, like, so the actual guy that it's based off of, Gabriel Amarth.
Okay.
When he was alive, he was kind of like a shit talker. He was kind of like, he was an alcoholic, okay. Kind of a wise ass, like that type of thing. Yeah. So, like, when he's talking shit to this dude that's possessed, this kid that's possessed, he's like, "Are you really a big demon? I don't think you are." Right. Like, he's like, he goes, "I think you're kind of a little, like, kind of a weak ass demon." He's like, "Could you possess me? I don't think you could possess me." He's like, "You have to possess a kid because you're a pussy." And the demon's like, "You motherfucker." Like, you know, like that type of thing.
Wow. So, I'm very surprised.
Yeah. So holy then about the halfway shit. Point, it hits the horror. And then it goes pretty fucking wild with the horror part. The only thing that you have to understand is that there is definitely, like, some crazy CGI in it, but it's not like the kind of CGI that, like, you look at it and you're like, ugh, it's not like that. But it's totally like, hey, what's up, Adam?
listening at home, yep, Adam Nutter has just joined us.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally split us down the middle, just interrupted, right in the middle. Just,
you split the baby,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah, just split the baby there.
I'm very sorry. It's not important, but I'm very sorry. Continue your conversation. Yeah, yeah.
So, no, it's totally worth watching. Like, it's one of those things it's going to hit the exact tone of a religious horror movie that you want it to. So I think you should totally watch it. It's fun.
I said,
Fat Russell Crowe, never go
wrong. Oh, beautiful. I need it. I need a Fat Russell Crowe every day. I love him. I mean, because every time I'm watching Fat Russell Crowe, I'm thinking of his divorce monologues, like all his divorce stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he do a divorce auction? I thought he did. If you know anything about Russell Crowe, I'm pretty sure once he got a divorce, he did like an auction. He was just bloated, just drinking a bunch, and just like, he was like, "Nah, I'm selling all this shit. I don't give a fuck.
Just take it all. Like, I don't want
I
it
love
anymore."
It.
Yeah.
It's one
and
of
then
those,
he did that fucking Road Rage movie where he was also like a dude who's like, the fucking opening of the movie is he walks into a house and kills a bunch of people with a hammer, and then he's like, "I'm going to go for a drive now." And then, like, the rest of the movie is just Fat Russell Crowe driving under the influence of booze, getting pissed off at a lady that cut him off in traffic.
It was
great. Yeah, it was insane, but it was great, you know? Fat Thor. He was Fat Thor. He was Fat Zeus
fat
and Thor.
Old, yeah.
Fat
Zeus, right.
Yeah, which was great. So Fat Russell Crowe. Yeah.
I'm surprised because I will tell you what they fucked the trailer. Because the trailer was... Oh, let's hit these beats. Mm-hmm. It felt like I was like, oh, guys, I know who's going to see it, but not me. I was like, I'm a horror fan. I'm not going to see that based on the way you cut that trailer. Now, if they cut it with a little more pizzazz, I remember seeing that, like, they had shoved Russell Crowe. Didn't they do like a live TV thing? He had popped in some way. What was that, Jones?
He was at WrestleMania. It was at WrestleMania.
Yes, it was WrestleMania. During I was watching entrance. WrestleMania. Yes.
Yeah.
So they really played it.
Edge entrance.
Yeah, during the edge entrance. And I was like, I was watching it with the comedian Jesse Tram, comedian Seamus Millar, and like Andy Lane and these comics in Philly. And I'm like, what? What is this? I'm like, this is my shit. I watch wrestling vicariously through them. I come over every once in a while. They download. I love it. And then that's how we watch it. And I'm like, what is this? I know about this movie. Why is this all in wrestling right now?
Right. Yeah.
And it was just Fat Russell Crowe just being like, "You want to see this fucking movie?" And I was like, "I know Russell Crowe, but I'm still not going to see it." The trailer looked god awful. They really did not.
Dog shit.
Yeah, it was really bad. I was like, wow, why there's nothing interesting in this. But it's so much with horror, so many times. It's speaking of Asian horror, we were talking about it before. What was it? It was Witch. Was it just Witch?
I think it was The Witch and The Witch 2. It was The Witch and The Witch 2.
The Witch and The Witch 2, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're on Shudder.
Yes. Yeah. Very fun. I loved, if this is the right movie I'm thinking of, because it's Stranger Things in some ways. I mean, yeah, it's like it's MK Ultra, and Adam, I think you would love it, dude. It's you, and you know, I won't say there's a turn, but Adam's an asshole where he's not a good horror guy because he wants to guess the turn and he wants to talk during the movie and guess the turn. You're like, Adam, shut the fuck up.
I do.
Just watch it and enjoy.
No.
Yeah, please, if you could. And it's very fun. I would watch it. You're going to have to read. I'm sorry, but you know, that's tough for you. But it's
brain traumas.
It's amazing. Hey, it's tough. But I will tell you, you will have fun. And there's a couple, so you can kind of have fun with them.
They're both great.
Yeah, they're both fantastic. Oh, no,
this is a different one.
Yeah, yeah. So this is Asian. This is, is it? No, it's not.
It's Korean, isn't it?
Korean.
I think it's Korean. Korean horror.
It's all the same. Early settlers, America, or... Yeah, Korean cinema. It's all the same shit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hated that scene in The Witch when they were holding their eyes taut. It was very rude.
So now, I did come in late, 44 minutes late to my own podcast. Now, I have to ask, was this a horror base the entire 45
minutes? 100% the entire time.
People are going to hate this.
I don't care. What are we going to talk? Liberty? First of all, I made fun of you. I was immediately like, listen, Adam can't be here, but he sends his regards from the DNC and RNC. He loves it. I was just like, he might be off doing it. I was fucking around, like having fun. They will, because I want more people to, and also horror's huge, but it's like, so many people watch garbage and then they're like, ugh, I don't like this at all. And we're like, yeah, I know. It's because
you're watching terrible, shitty horror.
Yeah, terrible shit is coming out and it's shown.
DVD plugs.
No, actually, I was actually about to go right into plugs
off
after
the rails.
But then
I told Jonas before we started, before you got on, I was like, dude, Neil loves horror. This is his shit. And then I had a bail for something real quick. And then I was like, this is why I was like, I guarantee I talked to him for 44 minutes.
100%. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't even a question.
I was like, okay, well, why do it in the middle? Like, I was like, it didn't make any sense because usually
we do it.
Well, I know, but it's not. Oh, sorry, everybody. We broke format. Are we that famous where you guys are mad
I'm just
now?
Busting your balls.
Yeah, I know. But it was, I was like, now let's fucking hold on to this roller coaster and just ride it into the ground. Thank you for interrupting. So yeah, why don't we do plugs now? I guess.
I got you.
Jesus Christ.
So
whatever.
Real quick, Neil, this one on you. You'll actually get this. You'll understand.
Go. Fire on
Neil. You'll understand this, Neil. When I have friends sometimes that watch horror movies, they say, "Can you give me a movie that's gonna fuck me up?" And I'm like, "Do you want me to fuck your day up? Do you want me to fuck your week up? Or do you want me to fuck your month up?" Like. Right. Yeah. How fucked up do we want to go here?
Right.
So whenever they say they want me to fuck their day up, I'll do a movie that's like a Terrifier 2. Something like that, where it's like a gore film where they're just like, ugh, now I got to shower. You know, like
strong
that type of thing.
Start. Yeah.
Right. If they do a fuck my week up, I'll be like, all right, let's do an Asian one like Ichi the Killer or something like that.
Yeah,
that's like gnarly, bloody, gory, also kind of depraved and fucked up. Yeah. And they'll be like, if it's a fuck my month up, I'll throw like French Extreme at him. I'll be like, why don't you go ahead and turn the lights off and watch Martyrs? Like, go ahead and do that.
No, like, I haven't dipped too much into it. No, I have. I've heard about French stuff. I've seen bits of Martyr. I don't think I need to go back and do a rewatch of Martyr.
Do we talk obligatory Serbian film yet, or is that?
Oh yeah, yeah. We brought up a Serbian film.
It was like immediately.
Okay. Immediately,
yeah.
Is that like your guys' cool check? Like, is it like Serbian film? You're like Serbian. You're like, all right.
But the French are fucked up. No.
The French.
All
dude,
that said.
French extreme movies are like they're good movies. They're very good movies, but like you got to fucking like sit down and understand that you're going through a ride. Like Martyrs is all about trauma. Like, it's one of those movies that, like, once you watch it, all the stuff that it touches on in the movie, it's like, oh, fuck, horror doesn't touch on those things. And, like, it really brings those things out. And then you have movies like, there's one that's literally called Revenge. Ooh, and it's okay. on Shudder. It's on Shudder.
All right.
It's a movie called Revenge, and the whole movie is about a woman that is up in somewhere in France with a boy toy, and she gets assaulted while two other dudes kind of just sit back and understand that it happened.
Okay.
And they try to kill her, but they don't. So she goes on a fucking warpath. It goes from like I spit on your grave a little bit
yes.
to like Rambo. And it's just like yes. it's so good. It's such a good movie, a revenge movie.
I love some good revenge. And they've done well in terms of a genre, which is expanded in some way, which is really fun, of like, oh, yeah, revenge, like rape revenge movies have become sort of its own little kind of thing over here. Like, oh some of your favorite ones, both for the victim and for the predator.
Of course, and the predator side.
But, like, yeah, I'm trying to think of, I mean, you know, Irreversible, which isn't in that genre, I'm saying, but, like, in terms of fuck your...
insane.
Is yeah. nuts. It's yeah. But I don't know if I was trying to think of is it month-worthy? I was like...
I think it depends on the person for sure. Yeah, it would. Like, but yeah, it easily it would. Could. It easily but could be.
When I tell you that I watch, I mean, what a great... To pitch it to you, it's watching a movie sequentially in reverse in segments.
Yeah,
you've
talked about this movie before.
And it's... Well, it has French actresses, right? They're in France, I believe.
Monica Bellucci's in it. Yeah, she's the main woman. And then I think it's Vincent Cassel. That right. also is in it. He's in a bunch of that dude's movies. Gaspar Noé. He's in a bunch of his movies.
Yeah. People will recognize the one actor. He's going on to do other stuff. And you're just, but it was, the pitch was, it was just like, no, I want to tell, and it was like a college movie or a guy who had the idea in college and then like got it made. And you're just like, I've told you about this, Adam, in this whole movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, you're not ready for it. I could tell you about it, and then you're just still not ready for it.
Yeah.
And then you have to watch the end. It's a genius idea when you're like, okay, cool, we're watching it in this order. It's forward, right? Each segment is forward when they break from a scene or whatever, but you're watching it in reverse order in that way. And when you get to the part that I mentioned, it's you're just like, okay, well, now what? Like, what?
Right.
How do you finish a thing like this? Because mm-hmm. that was such a brutal scene. I can only imagine therapy was needed just on the actor's side. Like, it's, or they walked it off, and I don't know what their life is like. But,
you know what I mean? They're walk now. I'm like, yeah.
It's another Tuesday. Yeah. You know, you're just
going
like,
to go have a smoke. It'll
so
be fine.
Palanijan. But yeah, Irreversible. I would think that was in. I was gonna say when you were mentioning like you want me to fuck your month up, I'm gonna fuck your week up. Like where are you at? I'm like you want to fuck your month up, dude. Some Irreversible. I mean, some you mm-hmm. know Serbian film. That'll it's. I've watched a Serbian film midday. That's I've said this to Adam.
Yeah.
I watched it midday, 2 p.m. in my room eating some food. And I, no joke, like, dude, it was like a Curb Your Enthusiasm sketch. Like, I watched it, I finished it, I went like, holy fuck.
Yeah, you've watched it like
turned it off and then
times.
Went out into the world. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I was wide-eyed for most of the day. I was like, man, yeah, yeah, no, I'm good. Yeah, good.
And I think also, like, even a movie, like, it depends on the person, because, like, some people like the movie Midsommar. That could fuck their entire week or month up easily.
Like that one,
you know,
I watched it like, eh.
Yeah, well,
Midsommar because of the subject matter, because the fact that it's all based on grief, just like trauma and grief, that could easily fuck somebody's world up. But also, like, you know, like the reason the whole like fuck your week month thing, there's certain movies that I think are universally pretty fucking brutal. Like, and that's like, you know, the movies that I was talking about. But like, there's one called Eden Lake that is wildly brutal, and it's one of Michael Fassbender's first movies.
Oh,
and it's like a lower budget, like lesser scene type of thing, but it's super fucked up, like, and it's very good, but it's also again one of those like lesser scene type of movies. Wolf Creek is another one that's super fucked up, you know. So yeah, there's always those types of movies, but like those French ones, the dude, that Gaspar Noé guy, the guy that did Irreversible. All of his movies are fucked up. Every single one of them. Enter the Void, Climax, like all those movies.
Yep.
Dude, Climax is actually one of my favorite movies, but most people, Climax is dope. It's the best way to put it is what would happen if a bunch of people got locked into one room and all had a bad acid trip at the same time.
Oh, okay. Some nice. We're going into more MK Ultra shit. That's like
big time.
Like
with
it. Yeah. That's like the mass poisoning in France and stuff like that. It's like what, like 7 people died. Like, I love watching it. There's instances where you can show this. Like, people lost their fucking shit when we dropped LSD and shit. And like, well, no, sorry, we didn't. Sorry, U.S. government. Yeah, we no unquote. What or the one wink, in San wink, Francisco. No, yeah. We didn't also do it in San Francisco.
Dude, fuck,
that's
that was,
nuts.
This story's it's great, just, dude.
All of a sudden, a person just lost their shit, walked into it, like looked at a wall for 5 hours, and then walked off of like a building. And
dude,
you're like,
just
right.
drugging
we don't
politicians
know.
With like, prostitutes. Mm-hmm. The prostitutes were just drug politicians, and they was blackmailing. It was fucking great.
Oh, well, there's all that. And then the testing beforehand. They did some exposures even earlier in the 50s mm-hmm. where they were just like, they were just letting some gas out just for funds. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Just like, let's see what it worked.
Did we talk about Lamb yet in this? Fuck that movie. It sucked.
The movie Lamb? Yeah.
Fuck that
movie.
That movie
actually did, in fact, suck.
It
that
did
was
suck
actually...
so bad. That Jonas, can I tell you my problem with the movie?
Yeah, please my problem do.
With and again, I'm not, again, I am not a horror aficionado like you gentlemen are. That's your thing. I'm just a dumb moviegoer, okay? But, and I don't know if you'll spill you on this at all, but I am like a guy who's like, I don't need to be told what's going on or like an answer, but like, you got to allude to something. You can't just be like,
sure.
That's a thing. So like the fact that I'm spoiling this fucking piece of shit movie for anybody out there.
It's fine. Spoil
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm spoiling this movie. At the end, when the lamb guy just shoots the guy and takes his lamb child back.
Right.
Who the fuck is the lamb guy? Where did he come from? Where's the lamb baby come from? What the hell? What does it all mean? You can't just do that and be like, this is normal, and just go on about your day. Like, you got to give me something. I'm not getting, you don't have to spell it out for me. Like, you don't have to be like, the lamb is a demon who came from the devil. Like, I'm fine. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, give me more than just fire. Okay. Also, good shot with the shotgun. Just pick right. up a rifle for the first time ever and just get to bullseye?
Right.
I used to miss with a pistol constantly.
Right.
You fuck know, out of here.
This is what I liked about them. The movie, I hated the movie, but this is what I liked, the fact that the storyline was very simple. A shitty lady stole this guy's kid, and he came back and got it back.
Yeah, that's totally what it was, that's right? 100%. Like,
that's what I love. I didn't hate it as much. It's a one watch. It's a, and you get to go like, oh, everything you thought is real. That's it. That's the whole point of the movie. That's the whole
point. Dad came back and was like, "Fuck you! You stole my kid, so I'm gonna kill you now."
Totally.
To be fair,
creatures exist.
Yeah. Right. To be fair, if I was that dad, I probably would have done the same thing.
No, like, for sure. Yeah. Also, the uncle should have killed that thing. That's what I'm saying. He should have 100% killed that baby. Because, like, I talk about this all the time. I'm trying to make this a bit, but it's not, I can't figure it out. But it's like, you know how people are like, I wish, like, my dog could talk? You know, people say that, like, I wish my dog could talk. And, like, I think that too. Then I'm like, yeah, but, like, that would be horrifying. It would sound like Caesar from, like, Rise of the Planet of the Apes when he first spoke.
Yeah.
He was like, no. And everyone was like, well, that was horrifying. Because,
right.
Like, animals don't have vocal cords. Like, that'd be horrifying. But it's like, so, like, once his uncle saw, like, a half human goat thing.
Right.
He should be like, that's cute, but this is clearly, I have to kill it for the good of humanity. This has to die.
Right.
Like, I have to kill this thing.
This is something that I think both of you will like. When I did a review of that movie, the reason that I said the movie was bad, like, I did a written review of this movie and I said, this is why that movie was bad. Early in the movie, it's very clear that somebody fucked a sheep. Very clear. And if that's the case early on in the movie, for the rest of the movie, I should care about who fucked that sheep.
Yeah.
It was so boring that I no longer gave a shit about who fucked that sheep.
Dude,
and also, they never tell you who fucked the sheep.
Well, like, the goat just, dad clearly fucked the sheep.
Right.
But like, so first of all, self-plug Patreon. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/cultofus. We did a movie watch of this, and we just like broke
beautiful.
It down. And the whole time, just like... Who fucked the sheep, though?
Who fucked the sheep?
Clearly it came out of a sheep.
The sheep man baby. Like,
I almost gave it, because I do like bitter endings and stuff like that. Like, I really do. I love a good just like, no, you're an idiot. Like looking at the audience and be like, we've been showing you what's about to happen kind of
the whole time. Yeah, the whole time.
And I love that, but why do the someone even fucked a sheep? Like, you should have just found a lamb baby, first of all. Like, just out of the gate. And then it would have been so sweet to just go through this whole movie of, like, this is, like, a miracle. And it's like, oh, my God, humans, humans exist in this realm where, like, maybe this is just some weird one-off thing of, like, something like evolution.
That's how I interpreted it, right? like how they looked at it. They were like, this is a miracle. Also, not to cut you off, dude, but
I get it, yeah.
But like, they also implied like the dad might have fucked the sheep a little bit in that movie.
The fucking needed to get out of it. That's what I'm saying. It all the fucking needed to get, like, it shouldn't have mattered because at the end of the day, the horror of it should have just been like, no, you fucking human idiots. You think the world revolves around you the entire fucking time.
Right.
Mythical creatures exist, you dumb shit.
Yeah, to be fair, though, it was their sheep. So, like, they kind of have a little, you know, like, there's... that guy was just fucking someone's property. Like, maybe right.
Somebody
fuck a random
did
sheep.
Technically and... break in and fuck
yeah,
that sheep.
So
like,
libertarian-wise, that's your child.
Respect property rights.
Property are humans. That's what we've always said. That's
I do say that. Agreed. So don't come in. Don't be coming in, sheep guy.
We gotta go to plugs. We gotta do plugs and get out of here.
Don't be coming in, sheep guy, and fucking livestock. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Oh Jesus. Yeah. Let's do some plugs again. Jonas, why don't we kick you off there, buddy? Tell them everything where they can find you and all the stuff. Let them know.
Yeah. So if you're going to find me on Instagram, you can find me at Jonas Barnes Comedy, as you see down there under my face here. That's my regular page. If you want to see and listen to any of the horror stuff, it's at AGHP666. And if you're in New York City, I have a show that is every fourth Thursday of the month called the Traumedy Hour. And that is at the Tiny Cupboard in Brooklyn. And we talk about the darkest, most traumatic, most fucked up stuff possible and turn it into comedy. And we do that every month. So that is at the Tiny Cupboard in Bushwick, Brooklyn, fourth Thursday of every month at 7 p.m.
Hell yeah.
Nice. Boom. That's sick.
Uh-oh.
I hit the wrong thing.
Oh, I'm putting on the wrong stuff.
Oh, it was you?
Yeah.
Look at you.
I'm helping out.
Fuck yeah.
You know. Adam Nutter, go ahead, buddy. Where can they find you?
Go check me out at Adam Nutter on Instagram, on Twitter, and Adam Nutter Comedy on TikTok. Go check out the Porcupine. I haven't done an episode in over a month. YouTube.com/AdamNutter. Gotta get back on that horse.
Are the worst at plugs I've ever.
I am the worst
at
plugs.
It's insane how bad you are. You could have said nothing.
I know.
You could have just
being
been
honest.
Positive
I was
and
being
just
honest.
Said,
I gotta get back on the horse. I'm motivating myself to fucking do it again.
Yeah, but that's detriment to our listeners.
Shut up. No, I'm gonna put out a new episode next week. Go listen to the. I don't know why I did the Bill Clinton thing. go listen to the.
I have a new episode next week.
Go listen to the Porcupine. YouTube.com/AdamNutter. And then come see me do comedy. June 3rd. I'm doing Rinaldi
no,
and Yoder show.
First of all,
yes?
Stop.
What?
May 26th. This week, you will be in.
Yeah,
you're going to let me do all those, right?
Yes.
Cool. Go ahead, you stupid son of a bitch.
I was 100% going to let you do those. Yeah.
Are you at June 7th? You coming June 7th? No, you're not. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I am.
Damn it. All right, now I know.
June 7th, too. Yeah. So, okay, outside of that, June 17th, Cardinal Winery up in Lansdale, PA. June 22nd, Porkfest up in New Hampshire. Just that one day. I'm coming back because that Friday is just a comedy show, Turnersville, New Jersey. And then July, Helium for the Funniest Thing and others. Neil's going to fill in the rest of the stuff. Yeah. Yay. I'm done.
Boom. Nice. Yeah. Come on out this weekend. This Friday. Come out May 26th. We got two shows running over there at Myers Brewing Company. So you can come for the 7:30 show or the 9:30 show. The 9:30 show's got a awesome comedy fight club. Adam and I will be there. Adam is on the first show as well with Blaze Gagakis, Ryan Curtis. A great lineup. Brian Fennell, Del Callo, John Del Callo, like great comics on the first show as well. So come out to either one. Tickets are only $12. You can go to drop10.com/events for all those dates and details for all our upcoming events. All right. We'll be June 2nd. We've got the Crown of Creation right here in South Philly. So come out to the biggest little comedy shows at different venues throughout the city. June 2nd, we've got South Philly, and then June 7th, we'll be in technically Monroe, New Jersey, Williamstown, New Jersey, in that area at Autumn Lake Winery, June 7th. So you can get those dates and details and tickets all at dropton.com/events. Go there now. You can, of course, check me out at iamneilwood.com. Go there for all the dates and details for any outside shows. Thank you so much for having me on the show I just came from at at Urban Village Brewing. You do a great job. It was very fun, from Steve Leventhal. And check out all my stuff. iamneilwood.com. Go there for everything. And of course, Adam, you can let them know where they can find some sweet merch. Go to dropton.com/store. Check out some of that Cult of Us merch. Get in there, grab a hat, grab a shirt, grab whatever. You don't even have to show it. Don't show it. Yeah, because it's off. Don't even worry about it. And yeah, we'll just roll through this. And yeah, we got hats, we got shirts, we got all. Okay, or do it anyway, even though I told you not to.
It's
just don't want you to. I've made a decision. And yeah, but check out sweatshirts, check out Drop 10 shirts if you want to support the network and not even our podcast, whatever. All of it helps us. You can go in there and support the network. And one way, yep, go a little sleeveless. It's going to be fun. So check out all that stuff there. It helps us out a bunch and keeps our podcast going and thriving. And of course, go over to Patreon, patreon.com/cultofus. You got a $5 tier, get you all the shits. You're getting a shirt. We're asking for that size. Let us know what those that sweet fabric is hugging your hips, you son of a bitch. You know what I mean? Let us know your size. Let us know. And you're going to get in there. You're going to jump into our Discord, check out some fights with us and movie watches, us on the road, all that stuff and more. $5 a month right there, and join the cult. Get in on here, and I mean, be good to your president and your pope. Come on, guys, what's going on? The president and the pope need your love. So you know, I mean, we haven't done anything horrible, right? You've only had sex with 3 or 4 boys, right? I've had sex with a couple boys, but you do your boys different. Because I'm a pope, I have to.
We don't talk about that.
No. Not during plugs. I know. You've told me multiple times. I should not talk about the rampant.
Hey, what we do in Thailand is what we do in Thailand.
Sex from the Catholic community. I've said this multiple times. I apologize.
That's legal there.
Shout out to my mom, big Catholic. Love you. this has been a
just
lot of
shooting
fun.
Holy water all just, over the place.
She is. It is unfortunate.
Just ropes of communion.
Dude, when I tell you, I'm like, Mom, did you squirt holy water again? God damn it, Mom. God, wait, all over the raviolis! The raviolis!
Oh, imagine walking in.
This is so much salt! So much salt, Mom. You know your day. I don't
say I wanted Alfredo.
Yeah, what is. Is this like a clam sauce? This is really good. This is like a light alfresco sort of thing. I like this. Mary, what are these chunks?
You should drink more water. This is a kind of a Diavolo going on.
Yeah. Josh, I want to say, man.
Next time. Spice this shit up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Josh, I don't know when I will see you again or talk to you again. I hope to get your number and just get some good movies from you, because, I mean, this has been sensational.
Yeah, we got
to
have Jonas on next time. I can do the full episode.
We don't need to do that, Jonas. We don't need this, Jonas.
Also, I can have you on the horror podcast, so you can just go fucking crazy into the
horror.
That's
going to be
us.
Weird. No. Nah. I love it. just immediately backpedal. Well, I'm busy. No, I would,
I really
of course.
Like horror. It's not really my thing.
You will thrive on it. Deal with thriving your podcast.
I love the whole bit. You know, it's just coming over from the art perspective. I don't know. There's something about the art in me. I just love the practical effects and how they figure it out. It's just, I love the, and of course, I think it's got its best stories. But this has been amazing. Check out his podcast, Jonas. Thank you for joining us, buddy. Adam, of course, another day here. Any final thoughts, anybody? Anything?
Anything at all?
No, I think we crushed it. I think we nailed everything. Hey, if you hate this because of horror talk and we're like, oh, we're talking about movies, go see some of these movies. We're not recommending garbage. Like, we're recommending.
True.
These are very good movies. Expert.
They're going to put on bangers. They're going to
go check these movies out. They deal with everything you like. Trust me.
We totally shit on the bad ones. So
We shit on the bad ones. Was like, go check these out. They deal with everything you like. Trust us and enjoy them and check out, of course.
Oh, you know what? I do want to leave us on something. This is an unpopular opinion. I think if you eat in your car, it's like, I don't know, it makes me feel fat if I eat in my car.
Well, listen, as the resident fat person on this lineup right now, you're correct. Absolutely. Yeah. It's one of the fattest experiences you can have.
Yeah, and
like,
I don't know. It could be anything. I just won't do it.
What I like to do, if I have to eat my car, I like to pop the trunk, let the feet hang out. I get in the trunk, close the door, close the trunk door. I just get in there and eat. I pop it when I'm done. You know what I mean? I get in there, but I eat by myself. I do a couple screams every once in a while. You know what I mean? Just to throw people off. They're passing by. I park in a shopping center. Yeah. Just having fun. Ah, something in my butt. You know what I mean? Just yelling fun stuff like
put
that.
Put it in neutral. Try to finish the food before it drives off the cliff. You know.
I forgot to tell you that part. Yeah, I do. I get out of the car. It's in neutral through an intersection. I run behind it. I jump in the trunk. I've got a burger. That's what I'm eating. Yeah. And I get it. But
cardio went to burn up that burger.
Of course.
It's just fun. It's just like, hey,
we should add the segment to the week. Unpopular opinion.
Unpopular opinion.
It's like edging, but for obesity. It's great.
It's like I don't know. Like I was eating a protein thing in the car today, like, on the way to the gym, and I was like,
that's very sensible. You're out of your mind, and this is all completely in your head. This is something to talk to your therapist about.
No, I won't. This is what this is for. I'm gonna say it out now.
I know, but
when he said he was eating protein in his car, he was actually giving Roadhead.
It hurt my throat. It was bumpy. He didn't slow down at all. He just kept speeding up.
Yeah. All right, so if you're going to meal prep your own jizz, buddy, listen, this is what I forgot to tell you about this whole thing. I've been meal prepping my own jizz. It's the best source of protein. And
nice.
You can actually check out our course. Go to patreon.com/cultofus. Check out our course, and you guys are going to love it. You're going to be the most ripped, obviously,
banana
from our body,
muscle milk
can tell.
Tastes good coming out the other end.
Yeah. Proper hydration. That's key.
I was trying the pineapple thing, but it's so hard to get it into those small little cubes.
Your urethra.
Up there. It's so tough. Yeah. It's so tough.
You gotta cut them right. It's the trick.
You gotta
wedge them. In a beer bottle.
Oh, that's what that's the trick.
Pops right up there.
I was using one of those. If you've ever seen how they do cured meats, they have like a long tube, like kind of a metal cylinder thing. You punch that in to get a thing. I was doing
a sounding thing, but
in some ways, some people. But I've been kind of doing it that way, an insemination of pineapple into my penis. Guys, another day in the what a smooth transition.
I also got
Jonas doxed
on Facebook.
Oh, great. Dude, hey, could you stop giving me all the bad news on the podcast? Maybe save some shit for off mic.
Well, this is stuff I would have loved to talk about on the podcast, but I was like,
no. What? We have less people that have access to us right now. Awesome. So, Jonas, thank you so much. Check out everything he does. Not another horror podcast. Go check it out. Guys, I've been Neil Wood. That's been Adam Nutter. Jonas Bars, everybody. We'll see you another day. Another day in the cult, people.
Bye.
By the renewing of your mind.
The recycling. It's a flesh body world.
Do it.
Human.
Do it.
Sir Slimy Reptilian.
This has been a Drop Tent Media production.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.